from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
You heard it here first. May the 4th be with you.
Oh, it's the G and Ursula Show. One thing about this show, you never know where and how it's going to start. Good morning, Ursula.
I was not expecting that.
I've been wanting to do that for so long. I can't wait.
Since last year.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't get the Justin Timberlake because it started on Sunday. I wanted that. It was May 1st on Sunday. I said, oh, but May 4th is on Wednesday. What's going on the show today, Ursula?
Well, first of all, I want to say good morning to all of our friends in Auburn and Kent, Snohomish and Sumner, your neighbors in Tacoma, G, my neighbors in Seattle, too. We see you.
We do. But now, the reason why you're saying that is we pull the curtains back for you. This is what we found out. As far as those that listen to the show, number one is Auburn.
Good morning, Auburn.
And I was like, I get my hair cut in Auburn, but I don't really be sure. So I need to start showing love to Auburn. Number two is Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Tacoma.
Seattle, Snohomish, Sumner,
Puyallup,
Tacoma.
Yeah.
No, we love all of you, and we appreciate that you join us every morning. So coming up in the show today, the least traditional candidate is now the top choice for King County Sheriff. Is that a good thing? And then here's a question for all of you. Have you lost your ability to keep time since the pandemic? Here's another one. Have you forgotten how to dress in the office? Okay, we're going to help you. How's that? 888-973 Cairo. 888-973 Cairo is our state roofing text line. We want to hear from you as always.
Time to give the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And the leak of a draft opinion that would overturn Roe v. Wade has now galvanized the Democratic Party and pro-choice advocates who say they are going to fight to keep abortion safe and legal in Washington. Seattle Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal joined other Democratic leaders at a rally yesterday at Cary Park.
With this radical majority of the Supreme Court has no respect for precedent, no respect for women and the freedoms that now two generations of people have grown up believing are settled law. Then let's be clear that we can't trust the Supreme Court on any decision we thought was settled. And that's why we can't sit back and rest in the despair or the anger or the frustration that we're all feeling today.
She and other Democratic leaders say they will also work to ensure that women from more conservative states can still travel here for abortions. Caleb Heimlich chairs Washington's Republican Party, and he says the state's GOP platform affirms all life.
I think it may certainly become a big topic of conversation, and that will obviously have to shift what our candidates and what our messaging is and what we're talking about moving forward.
But for now, Republicans in Congress are focusing on who leaked that document. Senator Mitch McConnell says this lawless action should be investigated and punished as fully as possible. And he says the Chief Justice must get to the bottom of it and the Justice Department must pursue criminal charges if applicable.
What are they more concerned about? The leak or the removal of women's rights?
Well, it depends on
who you ask,
which
right?
party.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what's interesting to me is now the focus by some is the leak on this. And now the focus is that this leak is to help with the midterms that are coming up. Well, I'm going to tell you what I said, and I'm going to say it again. Republicans can wave goodbye to those swing states because now you have actually have something for the Democrats to come together on. I think that the Democrats during this time, and even though they have both sides of everything, I don't think that they've done well in what they've done. I don't think that their actions have been getting anything done. But this is an opportunity now to galvanize a lot of voters, wake folks up, because usually, as you know, there are usually less voters during the midterms than there are during the presidential campaign. And I think this, that leak, if you will, changed that, Ursula.
Well, and I understand the fact that it was leaked is a big fat deal. It has just never happened. It is a huge deal, and it is problematic because it has damaged the reputation of the U.S. Supreme Court. So understandably.
How about Clarence Thomas and his wife? Did that have any damage?
Yes.
Because there's actual text messages of her trying to stop the steal. So did any Republican get on there, high-ranking Republican get on there and say, this needs to be condemned? Did they say the Supreme Court was damaged then?
That's his wife. I mean, that is his wife speaking. But this is unprecedented. This has never happened. And the fact that it was leaked is a problem. And let's be clear. We don't know who leaked it.
Don't know.
And it could be. I mean, everyone's assuming that it's a progressive law clerk. Okay, first of all, no proof. Because there's another theory that it could be a conservative law clerk who wants to make sure, because it's not permanent. This is how they're leaning.
Was it Antifa?
I don't even want to. No, okay. I don't think it's Antifa.
Okay.
But it is a serious issue that something from a secretive body, that a normally secretive body is now leaked to the public.
I don't disagree.
That all said, the fact that something could turn back 50 years of what we thought was settled law is a big issue. And this is exciting the Democrats' basically dejected base, especially young voters, people of color, suburban women, who are not exactly thrilled with the pace of what's going on with Democratic leadership right now in Washington, D.C.
Are they on record during their confirmation hearings of saying that they all agree that this was settled law and they all agree
Gorsuch
that this is
and Brett Kavanaugh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you heard yesterday, was it Susan Collins who said, that this is what they told me, not just during confirmation hearings, but in meetings with me in my office. So she was clearly feeling like she was duped.
Mm-hmm.
The American people should feel like they were duped. But when you look at what happened in the hours after this was leaked?
Yes.
So the donation website ActBlue processed $7 million since the first report was leaked. So this definitely got some people excited. But you can also look, by contrast, that same platform took in $71 million in the 24 hours after Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died.
You know, one thing I think everyone needs to keep in mind is abortion will now be the number one political issue for every single national race in the nation. When it comes to Republicans, I think that a large majority of their single issue voters who voted based on abortion rights and for candidates who are more pro-life, those people have been showing up to the polls consistently every single election. On the Democratic side, we're going to see exactly how many people view pro-choice as a must-vote issue. That is going to be the question. But you're going to see every single representative, every single senator
Absolutely.
Who's running, including those in our state, being asked about this, because as it stands, there's the Protect Women Act passed by Congress or passed by the House right now that would enshrine abortion into law in the United States nationally. That's awaiting a vote in the Senate. It will probably not happen. If the Republicans retake the House, then you will see a bill to ban abortion nationwide. Who knows at what week or at what level? But that is what is at stake here in every single race, and you're going to be hearing a lot more about it.
69%. What's the percentage of those that are pro-choice in this country?
It was, I believe, close to 60%. Yes. So, I mean, the polls show that most people don't want to see Roe v. Wade turn back. So it is absolutely going to have an impact on the midterm elections.
And pro-choice, Heather did a good job of that yesterday.
Yes.
Pro-choice
doesn't mean
that you are pro-abortion.
Correct. Exactly. You want the woman's right to choose to remain. It doesn't mean that you're pro-abortion. Exactly. But to Chef's point, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham also acknowledging now that this could help Democrats in November, but he says that the election, he believes, would depend more on the state of the economy than abortion rights.
Mm.
I think that both can be true, but we'll see. The other question, though, for you guys,
yes,
and all of you listening right now, do you think that the Justice Department should or would criminally charge the leaker if that person is found?
We're going to ask this question to our legal analyst at 10:30.
It just happens to be related to you.
Happens to be related to my daughter at 10:30, this question.
Yes.
Me not knowing the rules, I say yes. I don't know what the rules are because I actually do, believe it or not, I think this is very serious, right? You're talking about the highest court this happening to. The court in which we have all deemed to be like, this is the court that really decides what goes on in our country, whether it's the Civil Rights Act, Brown versus Board of Education, all types of things. This is the highest court. I would thought it would be criminal.
Yeah. And others, too. But just in my reading and my initial readings of this whole thing, it looks like the Justice Department would not criminally charge. That person obviously would have deal with ramifications, including losing their job, losing their legal license. But whether it rises to a criminal offense may be difficult, only because if that person had legal access to the documentation, then they didn't do anything illegal.
That's
going to change that. I mean, I think a lot of things are going to change about the Supreme Court.
One last thing. This is about timing, right? So some would say that, well, this leak happened because this is just to help the Dems in the midterms. Even if the leak didn't happen, wouldn't this decision would have come out before the midterms?
Yes, in June or July. Yes.
So the idea that
it was done purposely with this intent, it's kind of ludicrous.
Right?
Yeah.
We're a month and a half away.
But the Chief Justice did say
it's legit.
It is legit and there's going to be a full investigation. After weeks of bickering, leaders in charge of tackling Seattle's homelessness problem actually came to an agreement. And that tiny home village in Rainier Beach that had been empty is going to be filled. Seattle Times columnist Danny Westnead is reporting now that officials have come up with the $750,000 needed to operate the village, which the Low Income Housing Institute had finished building in March. And as we had talked about last week, it was initially rejected for getting money by the new King County Regional Homelessness Authority. And a spokesperson for that authority had called the tiny home villages shanty towns.
Mm-hmm.
But since Danny was on our show last week, the CEO of the authority, Mark Dones, now has apologized for what he says was the inappropriate comment made by a staff member. Dones said that comment does not represent the agency and pointed out that there are 13 such villages with more than 500 beds, and they do serve an important role in the shelter system. And so after hearing of the standoff, a Seattle philanthropy group, which is really a local family, but they go by the name the Lucky Seven Foundation, they pledged $250,000 to the cause. The other $500,000 is coming from COVID relief funds. So the good news is 40 new units of housing are coming online.
Great. It worked. We had Danny Westnead on last week. We talked about it. We had discussions. Great. Something is happening. This is basically a reverse course, right? And that's I'm going to celebrate that. Now, the process in which we got there was kind of embarrassing. We had Danny Westnead on. We talked about it. It was just bad. And if you listen to that interview, you would hear it was bad. Maybe they heard the interview.
Yeah. Let's be clear.
Huh?
It's only happening because of Danny Westnead putting a spotlight on it.
I know.
On this particular issue.
I hope they reverse course down in Pierce County with that veto of the homeless in the cars. How about that? That'd be nice. Right. It's always nice when government gets together and says, you know what? We hear the people.
Yes.
And the people are saying, hey, and they reverse course. Good for them.
Yeah, but can we not do business like that? Like, you have to wait until someone points out a ludicrous situation that is just so symbolic of Seattle's bureaucratic dysfunction, and then you do something? We have to do better. Okay, got to squeeze this in.
Huh.
This one's personal. It has been a very rough go for Alaska Airlines passengers lately. More than 15,000 travelers had their flights canceled on Sunday and Monday, and Alaska is blaming it on the fact that the month changed. In an email to the Seattle Times, a company spokeswoman said Alaska schedulers found the task of scheduling especially challenging because the month-to-month transition happened on a weekend. But Will McQuillan with the Airline Pilots Union says it's not just a calendar problem. He says the shortage of pilots is to blame. Alaska, he says, continues to lose pilots to other airlines with 5 resignations a week, a pace he's never seen. And as you know, the pilots have been working without a contract for 3 years.
What you want me to say, Ursula? You want me to say the same thing I've been saying?
I'll tell you. I'll say something new.
Go ahead.
I'm taking a flight on Alaska Airlines at 6 a.m.
Okay.
That flight from SeaTac to Denver.
Okay.
If something happens and I cannot get to my son's graduation, you will hear about it.
Okay. Can I add to that? Dear Alaska,
yes.
My flight leaves at 2:05 tomorrow, and it's heading to Vegas. And I'm going to tell you what.
Vegas can wait.
No! No, no, no! It cannot wait. Alaska, come on. I'm turning in all my cards. If Alaska messes up these flights for G and Ursula tomorrow, I'm turning them in, and I'm going over to the competitor.
Okay. I will say this. I looked at the comments. I looked at the Seattle Times comments.
Why do you look at the comments
because
section?
I love seeing how people, well, I love and hate. It's a love-hate relationship because you want to get a feel for what's going on.
No, sometimes you don't.
But this is one person who wrote into the Times.
Yeah.
75K gold on Alaska. Last four flights have had issues of some kind or other, including cancellation of a flight a couple of days before departure to Hawaii, switched to Delta last minute. First class seat was half the cost of Alaska. My first choice of airlines is now Delta. No issues on several flights with Delta Airlines so far. Bye-bye, Alaska. Okay, you don't want that to happen. Alaska is our hometown airline.
I'm the goal, player! I'm in the gold, so I'm asking Alaska, please. Now, I'm telling you, if it happens again, your boy getting married in June. And when we get married, we're going to connect on another flight if that happens.
And can we improve customer service? Don't tell people they might have to wait 8 to 10 hours to get something resolved. And then the answer to the why did this happen? Because the month changed? Doesn't that happen every month?
I played it safe for my flight Friday. I'm taking Delta.
See? We don't want that to happen.
See?
Hey, I'm not making any mistake. I don't take that many trips, so I'm like, playing it safe. Mm. I'm also going to Vegas.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Mm.
All right, what's coming up next?
The least traditional candidate is now the top choice for King County Sheriff, and we want to know, is that a good thing? And you had a change of heart.
Yeah.
We had an initial reaction, and after reading more details, seeing how people were weighing in on this candidate.
Yeah. I'm going to give you guys I always do, but I'm going to really tell you what I said about the new sheriff that was appointed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't nice. But I'm going to tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Do that next. It's Gina Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. King County voters gave up the right to appoint a sheriff. That decision is now in the hands of the King County executive, Dow Constantine, who has just selected Patty Cole Tyndall for the job. She still needs to be confirmed by the King County Council. And yesterday we heard the breaking news, G, and for both of us it was a surprise because, you know, we had heard a lot about Patty Cole Tyndall, including some people who were saying, well, she's not even certified law enforcement, and so that's an issue. Is she going to have support of the sheriff's deputies? Is that going to be an issue? And she certainly has taken a non-traditional path to her role as potential sheriff. But just based on what I've seen from the comments of the King County Council, it sounds like she has broad approval, both from Republicans on the council and Democrats on the council.
Right.
But she beat out Charles Kimballs, who is the chief of police in Killeen, Texas, and then Reginald Moorman, the major in the Atlanta Police Department, who both you and I thought he seemed like a perfect candidate. But that was, in all honesty, based on just what I saw on paper.
Based on paper.
Yes.
And you want to tell the truth first, or you want me to tell the truth first?
I want you to start.
Let me start by saying I am glad that Chef did not have us talk about this once we had the news, because I would have had to just make a reversal on my comments today. Here's what I would have said, and here's what I said off the air. I said she was not my pick on paper to do this job. I thought that the one from Reginald Mormon from Atlanta. The major, graduated criminal justice, all this stuff. I thought, based on the credentials, I thought that was going to be the pick. So I'll be honest by saying that was my pick at first.
And don't you think, because that would have been maybe the more traditional pick?
The more traditional pick. And then this morning, I was preparing for the show, and I'm going to tell you, I looked up at Chef, and I said to Chef, wait a minute. I think I had this wrong. I think that the non-traditional might be the way to go. Now, a couple things. One, we thought that because she has a non-traditional way of going about this, that we thought that maybe the King County police officers, they probably would not respect her. Or maybe they're like, oh, she's not one of us. But then I thought, some of the biggest problems, I believe, in policing is that you're just continuing to hire the problem all the time. And so the person that was this job gets this job, and we're always wondering why it's the same problems over and over. And sometimes it might take a fresh set of eyes to do things. And then I went into Patty Cole Tindall's background, and I really dug a little deeper. She's been in this game, in Korean law enforcement, since 1991. Yes, she started off in the Washington State Gambling Commission, but then she moved on to State Employment Security Department, and then she moved to King County government in 1998, working with the Department of Adult and Juvenile Detention. And then in 2010, Dow Constantine tabbed her as the county's Director of Labor Relations. So she has multifacets of being around this, and I want to say I was wrong. I actually believe that this is the right candidate. I was wrong.
Well, one thing that didn't help her is that she initially said she didn't want the job. She was just going to be in the interim, and that she wasn't going to run for it. But then apparently, I'm reading in the Seattle Times that she changed her mind right before the application process started, and she told the executive, actually, I do want to be considered, even though, again, she is not a certified law enforcement officer. Let me let you hear some of what she has to say about herself.
I am not a traditional sheriff. While it's true that I started my career in law enforcement 30 years ago, I've also had the opportunity to work in a variety of other different roles. And I had the opportunity to be the director of the King County's Office of Law Enforcement Oversight. So I understand and support the function of law enforcement oversight, and I have worked collaboratively with the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight to remove barriers so they can do their work, which will allow for transparency.
Okay, so one of the things that she says changed her mind was that she got many, many requests from department employees themselves who thought the sheriff's office was turning around to be an agency that they wanted to be part of. That was one thing. Mm-hmm. The union that represents sheriff's deputies, I'm looking for the quote right now, but they said, okay, this is a quote from the president of the King County Police Officers Guild.
Okay.
And Mike Manzanares is praising her for trying to, quote, steer the department off the rocks where he said it had been when she took over on January 1st. And then he says any accusations that Cole Tindall was part of the old guard due to her coming from within the sheriff's department were the furthest from the truth. And he says she's listening where the last sheriff did not. Mm. She's not a cop, but she's surrounded herself with cops to help her make decisions, and she's an all-around great manager.
And she's not going to be on trial in July. That's what I'm saying. This is really this is important, and I was wrong, and I made it about face on this topic, and I'm looking at all of her credentials. Like you said, she was an interim director of the county's Office of Law Enforcement Oversight in 2014. She's not new to this. She's true to this. Ursula, she's been around this, and maybe, just maybe, this is what law enforcement needs more of.
So we'll see, but I think it's going to be approval by the King County Council because, again, even the most progressive and the most conservative on the council agree that she is a choice that would appeal to many. So we will see, but we wanted to admit that our initial reaction was off base.
How is your sense of time, Ursula? How is it? Tell the truth.
Also off base.
How about you listening right now? 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. How's your sense of time? Well, coming up next, we're going to be talking about that, and we need to talk and how the pandemic kind of is responsible. Do that next. It's Gene Ursula. The Gene Ursula Show. The 10 o'clock hour is coming up, and what's new at 10? Starbucks. Guess what? They plan on doing something, and we're going to tell you what that is and why they decided to do that. That comes up at 10. But right now, Ursula, we need to talk. And we need to talk about all of you in your sense of time, okay? Huffington Post had an article, and it was called "The Pandemic Has Warped Our Sense of Time," and they try to give ideas on how to gain it back. So you are not alone if the last 2 years you find yourself like, oh, it was that long ago. Anyways, this article gives you a couple things. I'm going to say a couple things and then I'll throw it to you guys as well. They talk about, number one, we have lost our routines, right? So maybe the structure, so you're not going into work. Maybe you're working from home, or you've done a lot of family Zoom get-togethers and all of that. And so it's helped you lose your track of time in that way. They also are saying that memories, that helps to process time, and our memories are different the last few years. We start finding ourselves like, was that before we had to shut down, or was that after? We say things to ourselves like that. Also, people process time differently. We are all different when it comes to processing time. And the last but not least, this is the most important part. We're now more aware of time now. We actually say things like, oh man, time is moving so fast, because of the sense of urgency that the pandemic has given for us. So my question now to you, Ursula, Chef, Nick, and the listeners is this. How is your sense of time, and did the pandemic mess you up?
The pandemic only exacerbated what I was already dealing with. And as you guys age, so I'm a couple decades older than Chef. I'm a decade older than you.
But you look good, girl.
Thanks. But I want to say that as you get older, time does fly faster.
Okay.
And suddenly it's like, oh, I've got all these millions of things that I need to get done. Mm-hmm. And I'm also dealing with elderly parents. And suddenly you see how the pandemic changed the sense of time for them. I mean, the elderly really lost a lot during the pandemic, and so much of it was because so much of their social life stopped,
right,
and their interactions stopped. So it really is a blur, and you'll probably find with your loved ones who are in the older generation bracket,
mm-hmm,
that they really have lost a sense of time, and it's much more noticeable. But for me, it's like pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, and sometimes days just get blurred.
Mm-hmm.
I have a harder time, like, oh my gosh, it's already May. Well, I mean, this happens every year, but why does it feel like in some senses it goes so much faster,
mm-hmm,
and then sometimes it just goes slow as molasses?
Just the other day, check this out. Just the other day, I just figured out that my mom turns 80 in February. Yes. So you would think oh, you know when that date's coming up.
Yes.
That's what the pandemic has done to me.
Yeah.
Like, my friend's kid just turned 6 years old. I thought they turned 4. It really has messed. Yeah. I'm telling you.
And
I know. I'm not alone. Some of you guys listening right now, you know, you feel what I'm saying. Chef, what you got?
Well, Ursula, I wanted to thank you and G, you for bringing this article up, because I was starting to get paranoid that I was getting old, because I had felt this sense that all of a sudden it's been a year in an eye blink.
Uh-huh.
I think a big part of that has to do, at least for me, with working at home. Because when you never change your environment and you spend like 300 days literally working in your pajamas and you don't put on real pants until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
just the lack of variety. You're not creating new memories. You're not creating new experiences and seeing different things. It's just the view out your window.
Yeah.
It's like locked in syndrome.
Yeah.
And I've just been kind of watching through this pane of glass. And so it's been interesting to kind of restart things. But the biggest issue right now is just routine with kids getting sick and all the disruptions.
True.
It's just stop, start. But I'm glad it's not just me.
And one of the things that has helped me and me coming in, I always say, well, it's really for me because it really is for me because I kept that routine throughout the whole 2 years. And
you will not take off. The other day we tried to get you to take off and you still wouldn't do it.
No, because it'll throw me completely off. I like to have my creature comforts and all the screens that I need to have to be able to do. I mean, we have to do multiple things at the same time, but it was critical for me during the pandemic to try to make my life as normal as possible.
Yeah.
So I remember I would tell you, I'm going to try to go out. I'm going to do everything I need to so that I can still go out.
Yes.
And I did. And I think that helped. But I just see it in our elderly for sure.
I want to give some love before we leave this segment because we were talking about Auburn and Puyallup and all the places that listen to our show. And then Becky down in Peoria, Arizona said, hey, don't forget about me. She lived here in Washington for 63 years, and she decided to move to Arizona last August. So thank you so much for listening. And by the way, Colby, I know you're down in Arizona. You listen too.
And then Brian in Bellevue texted in and said, what about the love for Bellevue?
Well, Brian, only one of y'all from Bellevue texts in and listens. So we bad. My bad.
I can see what you're saying, Ursula. You get in that grind. You get in that zone. Time seems to really fly by. I mean, does anybody really know what time it is?
Does anybody really know what time it is?
I had a couple of guys in the building today thought it was Thursday today, for crying out loud.
I think that their names were G and Ursula.
Hey, the 10 o'clock hour is going to be a good one. Stick around for it. One of those topics is this. Starbucks plans to do something. Wait till you find out what they plan to do and why. We'll tell you that next. She and her
diamond watch had stopped cold.